It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We've got a lot going on today. We're going to get with Lee Spencer here in just a moment. She's going to be on the phone with us. We're going to talk to her about Kyle Busch going to RCR. Who would have ever thought that would have ever happened after what happened at Kansas Speedway several years ago between those two people? A lot going on. We'll talk to Lee about that. We're also going to talk to Danny Lorton. Danny Lorton is the general manager of Lucas Oil Speedway. We're going to talk about this weekend's Jesse Hockett, Danny McMillan Memorial. J.J. Hickel was the winner last year at the Jesse Hockett, Danny McMillan Memorial. Derek Hagar picked up the prelim nights. So we'll talk to them about that here in just a moment. And as soon as we get Lee on the phone here, we'll talk to her about what's going on. A lot of stuff going on. Lucas Oil Late Models headed to Knoxville this weekend. So there's a lot of racing going on. But let's quickly bring up Lee Spencer, who was at the presser today with the announcement that Kyle Busch is going to be going to RCR. Who would have ever thought that, Lee?
I will tell you who would have thought that, and that would be Austin Dillon. Dillon would have thought that because it sounds like he was the mastermind behind all of this. As soon as things broke down with Tyler Reddick and they made the announcement at Road America, Austin texted Kyle Busch and said, "Hey, would you consider us?" And he first asked he wanted to see whether or not that was a possibility. And then he told his grandfather and his grandfather said, "Well, do you really think that he would consider us?" And, 30 minutes later, his grandfather called him back and said, "Let's make this happen." And so that kind of set the ball in motion.
Yeah. How many years ago was it when they had their little run in? RC and Kyle Busch. How many years ago was that?
11 years at Kansas. We were at the scene of the crime this weekend.
11 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 11 years, to be honest with you.
Yes, but, I guess egos heal between now and then, right?
Right.
And when you look at the status of a company and a company that hasn't won a championship since 1998. I mean, we're talking almost 25 years, right?
Right.
So to have a situation like that and to be able to get the most, I would say, not only the most successful driver in the Cup garage right now, but the most successful truck team, it's a win-win for RCR and Chevrolet.
So what are they going to do with the contract with the 8 car? What's going to happen right there? Tell us what's going to transpire right now with that contract.
Well, Randall Burnett, who's the crew chief for the 8 car, is remaining on the 8 car, and Kyle Busch is getting in the 8 car. We're still in TBD mode with where Tyler Reddick will race. RC has said it will be a chartered car at RCR. And as far as I know, RCR only has two charters, so there will probably be a lease of a charter for next year for Tyler Reddick to, complete out his final season with RCR. That seems to be the direction that they're going in right now.
Right.
I think the big question mark as all the dominoes start to fall is basically, and let's start it at 2311, right? Because that's where Reddick's going in 2024.
Right.
There has been rumors that 2311 offered to buy out Reddick's contract. And, they were hoping once RC got the ball rolling that RC got the ball rolling with Kyle Busch, that they would finally be in a position to move to the next step. I think that might be something that's still on the table, not entirely sure, but a lot of that really depends on Kurt Busch. what's Kurt Busch's timetable? When does he come back? Does he come back? And then, you know, you kind of have to look and see what direction they go from there. And I think that's kind of like the big, big domino, right? The Toyota drivers that are currently at KBM, where are they going? Because do you recruit Chevy drivers for the Chevy truck teams? I talked to Jim Campbell, who's in charge of Chevrolet's motorsports program, and he basically said that, you know, I asked him how important was it to get the KBM footprint, you know, as far as adding that to their truck program. And he said, we're in a position now where, you know, it's the next round of the playoffs, and there's only one Chevrolet represented in, you know, to get run for the championship. Well, you know what those odds are going to be, right?
Right.
So I think that they, you know, they kind of look at this as a win-win. Kyle comes back to Chevrolet, where he started with Hendrick Motorsports, you know, many moons ago.
Right.
And they have the opportunity to build a championship-caliber organization up in Welcome and build a championship-caliber or have a championship caliber organization in the truck series and a place to develop talent, which Toyota has done so successfully since the inception of KBM.
So how's this affect the relationship with KKM and the drivers that go over there and drive for Kyle Busch with the Toyota? How's this going to affect that that relationship?
Well, I've been told that Buddy Kofoid's kind of like in a holding pattern, because I think they were expecting to run him, you know, in a partial season at KBM next year.
Right.
I have not, I mean, you know, basically I rushed home to, you know, pull together a column. But I, you know, I have not read the comments from Toyota or the comments from JGR. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, it's probably, you know, just very politically correct statements. You know, but that being said, it puts them in a really funky situation. Now, I've been told that Toyota is courting a truck team that is currently with another manufacturer that has ties to, you know, former ties to Toyota. So, you know, that could open up a door for Toyota to continue developing drivers, but you still have to bring everything up to speed. No, it's not, you know, the engines aren't a problem because the engines come from Ilmor. You know, but there are a lot of parts and pieces. You know, that the probably the easiest thing about it will be the sponsorship, because all the Toyota sponsorships that were at KBM, or I should say all the sponsorships that are at KBM right now, all have Toyota ties to them. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's something else to take into consideration, is that B2B component of sponsorship with KBM. How is that going to look with KBM moving forward with the bow tie? You know, what kind of sponsorships are they going to bring to the table? What kind of drivers are they going to bring to the table? I think probably, you know, and there were a couple of incentives, and I don't know if you watched the press conference, but one of the cool things was Richard Childress gave Brexton Busch, Kyle's 7-year-old son, a letter of intent to drive for RCR. So there's that. The other component is Toyota does not have an entry in IndyCar, and Kyle Busch has already inquired as to driving the Indianapolis 500. So,
right.
You know, there's also that.
As long as it's in a Chevrolet, correct?
Right, as long as it's a Chevrolet. I mean, that, you know, that was kind of like when Jimmy Johnson went over there, the fact that he couldn't find a Chevy team and ended up, you know, driving for Chip Ganassi and a Honda was kind of like a, you know, nails on a chalkboard to Chevrolet. But, you know, 7 championships heals all wounds, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. But it was interesting. I think, you know, in my takeaway, and, you know, I'm going to put up a column about it shortly, is that I think Kyle was really looking for a fun factor. Austin said that it's, you know, it's not worth doing this deal unless you're having fun. So I think that there, you know, there's that component to it. He said he hasn't had fun at Joe Gibbs Racing for probably about 4 years. And I think if you read the story that I put up this morning about Denny Hamlin, he was absolutely miserable on Sunday, finishing second. Christopher Bell had another top five. He's the only driver to advance to the next round, you know, based on points. He was miserable. Martin Truex Jr., he was miserable. I mean, all these, I mean, you just have to wonder what's in the water at Joe Gibbs Racing that all these guys are miserable. And so I think, you know, it was probably time for Kyle to move on and get a fresh start and figure out what he's going to do with the next chapter of his NASCAR career.
Do you have any inkling of an idea what is going on over there at Joe Gibbs Racing right now? Do you have any pulse on that at all? Do you have a feeling in your gut why everybody is so miserable over there? Is it because they haven't been competitive? What is the reason?
Oh, I mean, I think they're plenty competitive. I mean, you know, the only thing I really didn't get the feel that the one place that they're, you know, they really seem to be lacking competitiveness is at the road courses. And, you know, if you read the comment and from Denny on the road courses, he said they're all dreading going to a road course next month at the Roval. You know, so I think that that's one part of it. But the pit crew situation, and, you know, Kyle said, I've been pretty lucky with the pit crews, but, you know, Denny's so discouraged about the pit crews at Joe Gibbs Racing. He's had 34 penalties this year. That's, you know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. 34 penalties, 34 opportunities that he pissed away trying to win races. I mean, Denny Hamlin probably ought to have about 6 wins right now. And, you know, that's pretty amazing when you think about how many have gone away. And I think he was third or fourth when Kurt won the race in Kansas in the spring. He finished second behind Bubba on Sunday. You know, people were asking him, oh, you know, did you let him win? He goes, you don't know me very well if you're asking those kind of questions. And, you know, he's absolutely right. And because Denny's not giving up anything to anybody. And I'm, you know, kind of baffled at, you know, why they can't figure out what's going on with that pit crew. And that is the main reason, if you read the story, why, you know, just seeing what's going on over at Joe Gibbs Racing and being, you know, fifth and sixth in the pecking order when it comes to talent of the pit crews is why Denny's going to recruit his own people and build his own pit crew operation for 2311 and not rely on Joe Gibbs Racing for pit crews next year.
Denny Hamlin needs to remember that he has been busted speeding down pit road countless times.
Oh, well, and, you know, he's more than aware of that, right? I mean,
right.
As I put in the story, some of it's self-inflicted, right? I mean, the speeding penalties, absolutely. But, you know, then he made 147 green flag passes on Sunday to come back from the equipment removal penalty that they got after the first caution, which was, you know, lap 27. So over the final, you know, after coming from the rear of the field, you know, because he qualified 25th, so he didn't do it himself any favors initially anyway, right? But from coming from the rear of the field to finish second over the final two stages, I thought that, you know, it shows you that the cars are extremely fast. It shows you that the driver's incredibly capable. There's, you know, but there's clearly missing pieces to this. And Martin Truex Jr., he sounded absolute. I mean, he said he had the fastest car out there. He was miserable. Bell, you know, top five, he was miserable. Kyle Busch just didn't have the handling right on the car. And I'm just baffled when you have 6 very fast cars and you only have, I think, 6 wins for the season. That's not a lot.
Yeah. No doubt. Let me ask you this, Lee. Rick Hendrick gave up on Kyle Busch. Joe Gibbs has given up on Kyle Busch. There's a common denominator there, Kyle Busch. Do you think that this road will end up the same way as the last two teams with RC?
Well, I will say when you look at drivers that are difficult to deal with,
yep.
And, you know, you look at Dale Earnhardt and you look at Kevin Harvick, right? You know, two of the biggest badasses the sport has ever known, but definitely two very difficult drivers to deal with, because Earnhardt wasn't going to settle for anything but, you know, 110%. And
right.
Harvick, I mean, his antics over at RCR are well documented as well. So I think that, you know, even at Richard Childress's, you know, age, that he's more than capable of finding a way to make this deal work. And, you know, Randall Burnett could have left and gone with Reddick. I mean, if that is
right.
what he chose to do, you know, he could have found some way to do it. He seems so jazzed about it. And I think that that's, you know, that's really cool. You know, his Randall's brother and sister-in-law, they run Millbridge. They own Millbridge, run Millbridge. And
right.
Randall says he spent time getting to know Kyle over there because their kids race together. And so that's, you know, they've already started the bonding process. But I think that once they get to know each other and, you know, Kyle gets to be part of the fold. He's already friends with Austin, and Austin said, I don't want to do this if it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's also that element to it. And so I think that that's going to be something that, you know, we kind of keep an eye on is, you know, if you have two guys that really enjoy working together, you know, it'll be better for the whole organization. And Kyle's going to push Austin like he hasn't been pushed probably since Harvick was there. And so, you know, I think it's definitely going to be one to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how the dynamic develops over the next couple of years. And we'll all have a front row seat for it.
Yeah. You know, RC, he dealt with Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt was a biggest source loser there was, right? And what is he going to bring to the table when Kyle Busch gets out of his car and says the things that he says when he's not happy? Maybe the best person in the garage is RC on how to handle that person. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think since he's handled difficult people before, it'll, you know, mm-hmm. it's right in his wheelhouse. And the, you know, the other thing he's going to have with RC, and this was the question that I asked today, was, you know, how does it feel to go to work for somebody that you know is going to have your back, who's going to literally fight for you,
right?
You know, if necessary. And, you know, to know he has that kind of support, because let's face it, if you're looking at the next generation of what's to come at Joe Gibbs Racing, yes, that they're going to put in one of the most talented up-and-coming drivers in the car with Ty Gibbs, right? But we know how that works, and we know what happens when you have that family tie. And and Daniel Suarez, I mean, he said it a couple of weeks ago. I always knew I was the fourth driver over at Joe Gibbs Racing. You really think that Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex and Christopher Bell are going to get better equipment than Ty Gibbs? I mean, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's probably better that Kyle cut bait when he could, rather than stick around and, you know, be the second or third driver at JGR.
Yeah. Frog Hall wants to know, what happens with Nemechek?
Wow, that's a good question. And that was something else I addressed in my Denny Hamlin story today, was basically that Eric Phillips, who is John Hunter's crew chief and uncle, He's going to go and take a managerial role over at 2311 when they do the reorganization of their org chart. So, Don Hunter, I asked that very question on Friday when he came in the media center after his win, and he said that I'm a Toyota driver. So my guess is he'll probably end up in whatever form of, Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity team. From what I understand, there's going to be three teams over there next year. Brandon Jones is leaving. Brandon Jones is going to take over Noah Gregson's ride at JR Motorsports. So that's, that opens up a seat. And my guess is he'll likely go into that. Now, from what I understand, John Hunter was supposed to be in a Cup car this weekend at Kansas. And then at the last minute, they decided to keep Ty, going the distance in the what is now the 23 car. So that didn't come to fruition. But I know at some point, John Hunter wants to get back to Cup racing. And so, as these older drivers at Joe Gibbs Racing start cycling out, whether it's Truex, who has a one-year contract, whether it's Denny, who has his own organization and, may at some point decide he wants to drive his own equipment. It kind of looks like that's what he's building for the future. He's doing everything. Denny appears to be, taking all the life lessons he's gained while being at JGR and is going to move them over to 2311, to do like JGR 2.0, just a bigger, better version of it. So, I think that, between 2311 and JGR, that there'll be some place for John Hunter in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Lee, we appreciate you taking the time. When are you going to have a story up on Racing Blues? You're working on that right now, I bet you, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I just posted Reed's story from the wire service just to get something up there, but I'm going to take a deeper dive. The news was out there. We were talking about it on Sunday, so it's not like we didn't know this was coming. But, I wanted to talk to some of the principals involved with this and kind of do a deeper dive, how this all came together. And the story will probably be, closer to how did we get from hold my watch to take, take this new watch. So,
yeah.
There's still a lot of moving pieces, and I think probably, as I said, the biggest are, what's KBM going to look like in 2023 and which car is Reddick actually going to compete with.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for Tyler Reddick. It looks like he's going to get stuck in a slow car for next year. It's what it looks like to me.
Well, all I can say to you is as long as I've known Richard Childress, and it's been 30 years now, he's a vindictive individual.
Right.
I would not want to be on his bad side. If you are, then you probably ought to have some fire insurance for your house.
That's a great way to close the interview. Lee, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you this Saturday, okay?
Look forward to it.
All right. There you have it, Lee Spencer. She is the best in the business. We're going to take a break when we come back. Danny Lorton, the general manager of Lucas Oil Speedway, joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott hanging out with us in the studio today. Joining us now on the show is a good friend of the Racing Boys, the general manager of Lucas Oil Speedway, Danny Lorton, joins us now. Danny, how you doing?
All right, how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing pretty good, bud. This is a big week for Lucas Oil Speedway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big. Like I said, the Hockey Memorial, that's usually for a sprint car event. This is our biggest deal here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So how much effort does it take to put on a three-day show down at Lucas Oil Speedway? Just kind of take me through the process on what is entailed on trying to put something together for a three-day show like this.
It's mainly just getting the facility ready itself, you know, freshening stuff up, getting supplies ordered. That's what I'm out doing now, is kind of running there and getting ready for the big event coming up. But, yeah, it involves – it's about a – even though it's a three-day show, it takes about a week to get ready for it.
Yeah. And this is probably – I'm not going to say it's the biggest crowd of the year, because the show meet probably is the biggest crowd – What is your biggest crowd? Can you tell me, is it late models or sprint cars? It's typically late models, isn't it?
Yeah, the Show Me 100 is usually our biggest event. This sprint car deal here comes in about second as far as attendance-wise.
Yeah. What do you got to do? What do you do differently when the sprint cars come in? Because I'll just say it. The first 2 years that we were there, the racetrack wasn't all that good. It kind of rubbered up. It took rubber early. But since those first two races, I don't know what you guys have done, but you figured out how to prepare the racetrack for sprint cars down there. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I tell you, I wasn't involved with the first few years, but I just know that Richard's kind of learned. Actually, you learn from your mistakes and what to do going forward. But like with sprint cars, we try to make the track a little more heavier for them. So it involves, a little more water into the track itself. She put a little bit more. So usually, like on regular weekly shows, we start on Wednesdays. But now for this event here, we start like on a Tuesday. So get that extra day of watering into it.
Yeah. So saturation is probably a big deal to make sure that you get enough moisture into the racetrack, right?
Yeah. That, and I think it depends on, you got to look at the weather forecast, what you got coming at you. And I say sometimes you overwater it and sun comes in or dries it up or clouds come over. All that kind of affects everything what you do.
Yeah. What does this race mean for the people that are in that area? You know, Jesse Hockett was such a big deal when it came to the central Missouri area, the Warrensburg, the Wheatlands, the just that area around the lake. What did Jesse Hockett mean to the people in that area?
Yeah, I say it means a lot to them. So I say, just like you said, from a local area, just Warsaw, which is like 25 miles from the racetrack itself. So, I mean, just in the area itself, he's well-known, popular, even amongst the drivers. You know, what success he had in his future at the time, it just, fans have grown to love him for what it was.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to meet Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, not personally. I mean, I met him at a few races and stuff like that, but I never really, up front introduce myself to him or nothing.
Yeah. He was such a good guy. And the day before his passing, he was in studio with Kirk and I, and it was maybe one of the saddest days in our lifetime when we heard of the passing of Jesse Hockett, one of the great sprint car drivers of all time from this area. Let's talk about the purse and everything. And this is a pretty big purse, $10,000 to win. On Saturday night, I know it's going to pay $3,000 on Friday night, but just kind of lay out the formula for this weekend. You guys have done a few little changes along the way as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we're one way to try to speed the program up for television more, try to cut it down so we're not spending till midnight or 1-2 o'clock in the morning racing.
Right.
But, like I said, the Power Eye have gone to the group qualifying, ASS, we kind of talked about it. So what we're going to do, instead of hot laps and time trials, we're going to combine those two together to where their hot laps is their time trial. I see with the breakdown, the amount of cars, we'll knock off about 17 races that we normally would have probably had if we didn't do it this way.
Yeah. How many cars do you figure you're going to have in both classes? We've been averaging somewhere around 50, 60 cars. Do you think it might improve on that a little bit this year?
Yeah. Actually, I just saw where War posted, they've got 64 pre-entries already, and then the last I knew, the wing cars were around 70, 71.
Oh, my gosh. That's a challenge in itself, isn't it, to keep the track in good racing conditions as the night goes on because you have so many cars?
Yeah, I think you just have to watch the track, see how it goes. I mean, we want to be fast, but we don't want to rubber up that either. So it's a combination of keeping your eye out and see how it lays out.
Yeah. What is the biggest job for you this week, Danny? What do you have to stay focused on?
Myself, it's just the facility itself, just make sure everybody's doing everything they're supposed to do. Like I say, I'm just the guy that's there. Most crews do it all themselves anyway. We got a good crew. They know what they're doing. But I just kind of go around, double-check things, see if I spot anything that's out of the ordinary or needs to be taken care of before we open up or even during the event.
Yeah. The main thing is to make sure that you surround yourself with good people. Isn't that the key to everything?
Yeah. I see. And the Speedway here, they've always had a good group of people, and it just continues to grow that way.
Yeah. What do you think is I'm trying to think. You've got some big races coming up here before too much longer. I know you've got the USRA Nationals, and there's a lot of great things coming up. Talk a little bit about your schedule coming up.
Yeah, after this weekend, September 23rd and 24th, I think the dates are, is our two-day Lucas Oil Pro National pool. We've got that coming up, and then we're take a weekend off to get ready for the USRA Nationals, which is a week-long event. And then the last weekend, last event we have in October, will be October 22nd, will be our Monster Truck event.
Yeah,
that'll finish out our season.
How big is showing your races? You know, I know they show them on MAV TV a lot. How big is that for the Speedway, and how much attention? And does that pull drivers in? Does that make them want to race down there, knowing that they're going to race on TV?
I think it affects some. I know just as a driver in the past myself, you know, we always try to, you know, something's going to be on TV. That's a good way to get yourself noticed, get your sponsors noticed. So
right.
I mean, it's good for the track. It's good for drivers. It's good for sponsors all around. And yeah. It helps drivers out, you know, trying to nail down those sponsors.
Yeah.
Just something they can give as an added bonus for them.
Right. You've got a UTV short course off-road racing coming up as well on October 15th. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's our UTV short courses. It's just the UTVs. We've got pros, turbos, and then we've got like four or five kid classes type deals. They're just Kansas City Off-Road used to do that. They kind of the series kind of faded a little bit, so I just kind of picked it up just to make use of the off-road track itself and keep it active and make use of it.
Yeah. I know I ran into you out at I-70 Speedway, and I know you're into the old-time cars. You bought a car originally and found out it was an original old-timer car, and you've kind of rolled it aside and built you a new car. Talk about your racing a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, that first Chevelle that I bought, I mean, I kind of going into it, and I knew it had a little history to it, but then once after I got it and got to checking into it more, it's got a lot of the Springfield, Ozark area history, so I didn't want to tear it up or have anything happen to it, so we kind of parked it in the barn and had a buddy of mine had this car that I've got now, this old coupe, that he has two of them, and I told him, hell, just put a price on it, and he did, and I said, I'll be there Wednesday to pick it up.
Yeah. you know, it seems like that class is really growing. Every time I go to a place like I-70 Speedway or whatnot, it seems like the cars, there's at least 20 of those guys out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, when I first met Mickey, I think they were averaging about 10, 12, 13. And over the last few years, it's picked up. Like I say, up to Speedway, we've had 24, 26. I think at one event, we was up to 30 this last event we had.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's growing. I mean, even just this club here itself, but even if you look up in Iowa and Nebraska, there's a lot more clubs that are starting to do this vintage deal now, kind of bringing back some of the old history.
Yeah, no, we see them up at I-80 a little bit. Those cars, this is a pet peeve of mine, so I'm just going to bring it up to you, and I want to know what your opinion is on it. But, you know, there's a certain driver that races with those guys, and he's got over 350 wins or 300 and some odd wins. Is that more of a club, or is it more competitive than I think it is? Do you think that some of the guys there, just kind of answer it, is it a club, or should guys that have over 300 wins be allowed to race in that class?
I mean, it's a club, but I kind of look at, I mean, having Tom there, I know who you're talking about. But
right.
but it's, to me, it's more of a challenge. I mean, we're all there to have fun and to win. I mean, that's what we all get paid, no matter if you finish first or last, the pay's the same. So basically we're running for the trophy.
Right.
You know, bragging right. I mean, to me, it doesn't bother me having somebody there that's got that many wins. It just gives you that more incentive to try to outrun him.
Well, you know, I've been kind of critical of that a little bit. So it's just my opinion that somebody that is such a pro like Tom Charles, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Charles. He is a hell of a race car driver. And it seems like he tries to start at the back at just about every race that he runs. And he always works his way right up to the front. It just shows you how good he really is as a race car driver. And it's just me. You know, I just think that I'd like to see more guys in that class win than not win. That's all I'm looking at. I'd just like to see more guys try to win in that class.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I agree, too. I mean, it's just a lot of the guys that's in that club, they may never get that win. But, I mean, they're having the fun. So it's one of those, I mean, like for myself, just the car, I've got the good car, but I can't keep it together long enough to get the feature win. I'm doing good in the heat races, but it just seems like the features, I can't ever finish them.
Right, right. All right, so things get going on Thursday night, September 15th. The grandstands are going to open up at 4 o'clock. Drivers' meeting is going to be at 5 o'clock. Hot laps at 6. Hot laps a little earlier than normal, right?
Yeah, we kind of did that because we found that we were running for the time trial or the time part of it to get, you know, TV going for streaming and even when we do live show to hit that 7 o'clock mark. So we found we were going over that. So we kind of opened up the hot lap timing a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, all I know is I'm going to be coming down there tomorrow, and I'm going to be doing my show from the media room up there on Thursday and Friday. I'm looking forward to it, getting to visit with some of the drivers who are going to be racing and competing with the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. Is there anything you'd like to add about what's coming up this weekend?
Well, I said other than that, just, you know, 3 full days of sprint car racing, so it should, right, should be good, fun, exciting. I said we've got our go-kart track. I said we'll have T-shirt traders up on the midway, drivers and stuff like that, so there'll be plenty of stuff to do. Campgrounds, I think, are pretty much sold out, so
yeah,
it should be a big event.
Yeah. Well, Danny, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate you doing so, and I'll see you down there tomorrow, my friend, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. There you have it. Danny Lorton, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. Mostly Motorsports. Austin, what do you think about this weekend? Who do you think are the odds-on favorites to win this weekend? Derek Hagar had a really good year last year. Picked up two prelim nights. J.J. Hickel, he won the final night. Roger Crockett, Scott Boguski were second and third. Who do you think is the odds-on favorite right now to win down there at the Hockett?
I think there's a couple guys you could look at, you know, as contenders. I think you can't count out Sam. Sam's going to be fast.
Right. He always is.
Always is. And anytime he comes back to the 360 deal, he's really good. And anytime you leave to go, you know, run a 410 for a year and you come back, those guys always have, one, a ton of experience and a ton of knowledge, but also they come back with a ton of speed. So I think Sam's going to be good. He's always ran good down there. Can't count out Derek Hagar. You know, Hagar should have won. The third night last year, I think he just started, you know, a little too far back. The track was kind of heavy. You know, he's won this deal, I think, maybe 6-7 years ago. And also, I think maybe Crockett. If you look at Crockett's stats, you know, he ran really well last year. I just don't like that he doesn't have a ton of 360, you know, races in this year. It's been, mainly Knoxville and the PowerEye 410 deal. So I think, you know, he'll be good. I don't like that he doesn't have a ton of 360 races in this year, but you know, that doesn't really change. You come down there, you get a good heat race, and you know, get a good prelim night, and you're pretty much sitting, you know, walked in on Saturday.
Yeah, I've kind of put in there that I think Wayne Johnson and Blake Hahn are going to be in the middle of it as well. You know, there's a couple other guys that get around there. Blake Hahn last year ran fourth. He just outside of the podium, but there's some good guys. You know, a guy that we don't talk about much on this show is Joe B. Miller. Joe B. Miller ran seventh last year. Man, he has been really fast lately, hadn't he?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Joe B. because I should think about him more, but it's normally I don't think about him until you actually see him at the races, kind of a deal. But you know, he was really fast at the lake. You know, he should have won an all-star race there this year, should have won an ASCS race and won a 410 race. That was within two and a half months. And he's just had a really good year in just about anything he drove this year. So, you know, he had a decent finish last year. So I think it all comes down to getting through your heat race and through your qualifier and just making the show every night. And I think Joe B is, you know, very capable of that. And you know, that track usually gets pretty, you know, slick and racy. I think that's, you know, one of Joe B's, like, you know, strong suits or, you know,
right.
tracks that fits, you know, Joby's style and car. So, yeah, I think you have to. There's so many guys you could look at, and say they have a shot. It's just it's kind of hard to narrow it down to, you know, like, you know, one or two or three guys.
Yeah, you made the A-Main last year.
Yeah, we did. I should have made the A-Main all three nights, and took myself out of the first two nights just on driver error and just making simple, small mistakes that cost me, you know, big results. But Saturday we had a lot of work to do. We started really deep in the, I think it was the B-Main, the first race of the night, and I took, like, the top two out of that. I think I started maybe 8th or 10th. And drove up to 4th.
You won B feature number 2.
Yeah, maybe it was a non-qualifier. It was the way they name these races down there. It always confuses me. But right. They have a race that you run, and like the first two finishers out of that race lock in the A, and then the rest of the cars go to the B main. I think we ran like 4th. I think Chase Randall was in front of me, and I ran 4th. And then it lined me up like 3rd in the B, and Jordan Mallett led the first handful of laps, and I got by him on the restart and checked out and made the show. So we were pretty excited about that. We don't run a whole lot of long races where we need to fill, you know, the car full of fuel, and we really don't have, you know, Lucas Oil is really weird on how the track, you know, kind of wears and runs. It gets really slick, and there's just, you know, no grip. I mean, you can run the cushion, but the cushion is usually, you know, a foot tall, and it's hard to get around. So it's really just a lot of, you know, kind of searching and momentum through the slick. So we kind of struggle with that, and, you know, our car wasn't that good in the feature, but we just, you know, ran our race, got our notes, and we're really excited to, you know, go back this year, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So we'll see. We'll just kind of watch, and hopefully we can go back next year and have some better success than we did, you know, last year.
Hey, new sponsor coming on board with you. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so John Allen and I have worked out a deal.
And tell who John Allen is for people that don't know.
Yeah, so John's raced, you know, modifieds and
excellent racer.
About anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, kind of through the Midwest, and it's been really successful in his career. And, you know, he stepped out to be a promoter and promotes 81 and Humboldt, you know, down there in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And also owns an auto parts store for racing. So they carry a handful of dealers. Go check their website out. I think it's allenautomotive.com. It's really catered to modified and local short track racing. But they're also kind of wanting to expand into sprint cars. And they've now kind of, you know, with ASCS being down in that area a little more often, they've had, you know, parts trucks at Caney. They didn't have any races at Humboldt this year, but also 81. So we're excited to welcome, you know, John and Allen Automotive to our team, and just have a good, you know, parts relationship with them, and hopefully help them, you know, kind of expand their business into more sprint car stuff, and just see, you know, kind of where it goes for them.
Yeah. So this deal that you've worked out with him, it's kind of just a it's not good enough to get a motor, though, right?
No. I wish it was, but, you know, it's, you know, any deal is good. So, well, we're still working on our engine package. I haven't heard any updates from, I think maybe it was a week or two ago last I heard what's going on with this. So it still looks like we'll get it by the end of the year. Won't really have any races to go run at this point. Everything will be pretty much done. I don't know if I would like to get it maybe before Devil's Bowl, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
My goal this year was to kind of go down there and run Devil's Bowl for the Winter Nationals, just to go get some redemption from my trip 2 years ago, and also, you know, maybe try and run the final sprint car race down there before maybe it's potentially sold. We haven't really heard yet, but I like to get some laps of that track. It's always such a legendary place, and it, you know, I kind of like going to tracks that have a lot of history and you know, feel like I, you know, I'm kind of being a part of something big in sprint car racing. But yeah, we're still kind of sitting here doing nothing, but hopefully, you know, some things kind of, you know, get rolling here at the end of the year. Maybe we can go run a race or two.
So let me just ask you: have you started watching any TV now that your race car is not such a key component in your life? Do you watch any television now?
No.
None?
No.
What turns you off about television, bud? That's just what I want to know. Why don't you like to watch television? We're going to get a little, we're going to get into a little psychological explanation now. Why is that? Why don't you like watching television?
Well, I think the easiest answer I can give you is I've been racing for 15 years now, I think it is.
Yeah.
15 years, I think. Yeah, 15 or 14. And that's all I've ever done. I wake up, I eat, sleep, and breathe racing. If I'm not, well, for a long time, if I'm not at school, I'm at the race shop. If I'm not at the race shop, I'm at home on the simulator racing. Or if I'm not there, I'm at the racetrack. So there wasn't a whole lot of time, in between, those activities to sit around and do just relax, I guess. And, I never had any interest in TV. I'll watch some things, I guess, but
not much.
I was into Gas Monkey Garage there for a little bit, but that's still around cars and some styles of racing. But yeah, besides that, I just never had any time to go out and be involved with it, and it just doesn't offer anything to me that interests me. And the only things that really interest me is racing. So that's the best answer I can try and give you.
Right. Another race we need to talk about, the 18th annual Lucas Oil Late Model Knoxville Nationals, will be running Thursday through Saturday, September 15th through the 17th, up at Knoxville this weekend. $290,000 purse. How about that?
All week or just on Saturday?
It says, in purse money will be paid out during the three nights of racing at the historical Black Dirt Half Mile Oval in Marion County Fairgrounds. So that's over the course of 3 days.
That's not a horrible payday. I mean, it's nothing close to
$50,000 to win the main event.
Yeah.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nowhere close to the $1 million purse that they have for the Knoxville Nationals. But, I mean, it's still not it's an average late model race. Everything I feel like pays, the lower end average races are about $50,000.
Right. They're going to have the Melvin Bank Super Late Models will serve as the support division up there on Saturday as well. So it's always good to see those guys get in there and race a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that they would not offer, but bring in
late models for a support series.
No, but Kosciuszko series. I mean, Yeah, it's just kind of odd.
I'm just
thinking about this. I don't know why I'm taking longer today.
I guess it's
a long Tuesday. I don't know, but
right.
It's just I'm trying to wrap my head around bringing in a late model class as a support class. Like, I get that the motor rules are a little different in that series compared to like the Lucas Oil series.
Right.
But still, some guys can go run both. So I'm not, without looking into it and having anything in front of me, I'm not sure kind of why we would have, two late model classes there that maybe you could combine into one and have a bigger car count.
You think Mike Marler has a chance? He won 2021, 2017, and 2016. Do you think he's got a chance to win it up there again?
If Davenport doesn't show up.
He is the king right now, isn't he? Superman.
I don't call him Superman for nothing, I guess.
Yeah. But Mike Marler knows how to get around that place pretty good. There's been a couple multiple winners in there. Brian Burkhofer, he won in 2014, 2004, and I'm sitting here looking at, and Scott Blomquist won in 2005 and 2009, and really those are the only multiple winners of the Lucas Oil Late Model Nationals.
Yeah, I don't see Burkhofer coming back to do this again. He'll see him get a ride here, maybe a race or two a year, but I don't really expect him to come back for this. Bloomer might show up, but I don't think Bloomer's going to be a threat. I wish he was. I just don't think. I think he's kind of hit the end of his career and just kind of riding his deal out. But, yeah, I think Marler's going to be tough. He always is. You don't win this race and not come back the next year and have a good car. Davenport's going to be good. I'm trying to think who else we could possibly
Tim McCready, you got to always consider him, right?
McCready, just look at the guys that ran well at Eldora if they go back. McCready,
Brandon
Overton,
Shepard.
Chris Madden might be good if he goes.
Right.
You know, Jimmy Owens, I always feel like runs really well up there, but he hasn't really had, you know, that good of a car, I feel like, all year long.
What about Ricky Thornton Jr.? You think he's got a shot?
I think Ricky could. You know, Ricky's had some speed and won some decent races this year. He won the Dirt Track World Championship last year at Portsmouth, and I don't remember where we ended up at the Nationals last year, but, you know, kind of an Iowa, you know, somewhat of an Iowa resident. It'd be pretty cool to see him, you know, get a decent run or even a win. But I think, yeah, he would have, you know, a pretty decent shot heading into this weekend.
I think there's a few guys you got to keep an eye on. I mentioned Tim McCready, Brandon Shepard. I think Ricky Thornton has a chance. Listen, Hudson O'Neill's been pretty fast here the last few weeks, hasn't he?
He has, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know why I normally would think of Hudson, because he's always – I always remember him or just – you always see him, you know, in headlines, right? See him, you know, running well. And, yeah, I mean, he could be really good. I think he kind of has something to prove before he heads to, you know, the Rocket House car next year. I think he could, you know, rattle off some big wins and carry some big momentum into that new ride. And it'd be cool to see, you know, Hudson finally get a crown jewel. I think he's been really close. I think he has, you know, maybe a decent car to do something at you know, the Dream this past weekend. But, yeah, I think he could – it'd be cool to see him pick up a win in Knoxville.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It definitely – and any time you have a big event, you always got to think about Jimmy Owens coming in there and stinking up the show a little bit too, because he's really good at the big money events, Jimmy Owens is.
Yeah, you can't count him out, but I just really haven't been impressed with his runs this year. He's been there, but I don't think he – like, if it was last year, then yes, I would probably say, yeah, Jimmy might have a shot. But I don't think, you know, the way this year's kind of played out for him, that he's going to be really, really much to talk about.
Right. And then there's a little more action going on tonight as well. I want to get it out there that tonight the Lucas Oil ASCS is be racing it at Spencer up at Clay County Fair Speedway. And also tonight on television, if you want to watch it on Flow, they've got the Castrol Flow Night in America at Fairbury this weekend, or tonight, I should say. That's going to be pretty good. Kirk's kind of giddy about wanting to watch that Fairbury, isn't he? Did you notice that when we talked about he got kind of juiced up about that?
Yeah, he's mentioned a couple times that he really enjoys Fairbury. I think Fairbury is one of the cooler tracks we have, you know, in the country. It just it's just a unique, kind of has that same kind of hometown, like I want to say kind of Knoxville kind of a feel to it. I know it's not like Knoxville, but still in the town loves the track and supports Kirk's shaking his head over here, but you know, supports that track and loves it. So I wish they would maybe, you know, have some more sprint car races there.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Outlaws went there a couple years ago. I think Kyle Larson won, so it'd be cool to try and get some more sprint car races. They're trying to get put on a pretty good show.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, that is it for today, folks. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. I'm going to try to get J.J. Hickel on the show tomorrow, talk about his big win down there at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial last year. We'll hope that we'll get him on. I've got his number. I'll give him a call, and hopefully he'll join us tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.